Our first scripture lesson today is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, 17 through 20. Listen now for God's word to you in the reading of scripture. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Just a couple of comments before I read the scripture reading this morning. The first is, I wanted to just comment briefly on something that was brought to some of our attention yesterday. Actually, some of you, some of our church members, shared with me an email that you had received from friends who are members of the Beth Bani Israel community here in Clearwater, down on Belcher Road. It was a letter from their rabbi, and it was describing how they had just recently been the victims of some acts of vandalism, that some anti-Semitic and neo-Nazi symbols and language had been scrawled on the sidewalk in front of their facilities there on Belcher Road. No real damage was done. They cleaned the sidewalks and no one was hurt. But I posted on our church Facebook page a statement that we here at Trinity Clearwater stand in solidarity with not only Temple Beth Israel, but anyone who is a victim of violence, of prejudice and hatred. And so I want to just call that to our attention so that it doesn't go unnoticed in our community, right here in Clearwater, Florida. The other thing I want to call to your attention is a little bit lighter. Whenever you see in the bulletin that we are having selected verses, that means the preacher didn't know what the verses were when the bulletin was being printed. What I did know, though, is that I have decided over the course of 5 Sundays, which will be interrupted in the middle by one Sunday when we have our 5th Sunday worship, which will be a special alternative worship. But for 5 Sundays, we are going to explore the Torah. We are going to explore what we call the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible. We're already exploring the roots of the New Testament on Wednesday nights as we explore the books of Paul. And so, sort of unintentionally here together, we are looking at the roots of our faith over the next weeks. You might even call it, we're going back to the Bible. Because you know what? We get so used to hearing the Bible stories and we just assume, oh, well, I know that. I've heard that. And we find ourselves in different places in our lives. And when we read these stories again, they have different meaning to us. They come to us in different ways because we have had different life experiences. So we're going to take a broad sweep of the Pentateuch, of the Torah, and we're covering one book a Sunday. So that's my challenge. And that's why I didn't know which verses I was going to read. But I've selected the verses that sort of frame my comments this morning. I'll be reading from Genesis 1:1, Genesis 50:19 through 22, and from Exodus 1:1 through 7. Let us listen for God's word. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And then, and Jeff did not know what verses I was selecting, and nor did I know what he was going to say this morning from the 50th chapter of Genesis. But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as God is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he assured them, reassured them, speaking kindly to them. So Joseph remained in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. And these are the names of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob, even with his household: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. The total number of people born to Jacob was 70, and Joseph was already in Egypt. And then Joseph died, and all his brothers, and that whole generation. But the Israelites were fruitful and prolific. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. The scriptures we just heard frame the Bible stories that we call the book of Genesis, which means beginning or origin. Now, the timeline of these stories in Genesis covers at least 13 billion years. Now, I say at least because this is time in the way we have come to measure it, and it is time determined by our current knowledge. But the way we measure time and by our current knowledge, the universe is estimated at least 13 billion years old. Now, all of that time, all of that 13 billion years, except for 5,000 years, is covered in the first 24 verses of Genesis, and what we call the first creation story. You've heard that example of if the history of the universe were a football field, humans appear on like a tiny, tiny increment of the goal line. Now, fossils of humanoid creatures have been found that date back as far as 200,000 years. That's still not much time when you compare it to 13 billion. But this is the appearance of Adama, the human from the earth, humanity, that we call in the Bible
Adam. But this creature of God is from the earth. And it was only a little over 5,000 years ago when humans, as we know ourselves, began to write down stuff. And that's when history, as we call it, began. Sounds a little bit arrogant, doesn't it? That we look at history as 5,000 years, 6,000 years. You can even go back to 10,000, 12,000 if you want to. And some people say there were recorded histories, there were oral histories. But even at that, humanity has only been around for a millifraction of time as we measure it. And it's all covered in the first 24 verses of our entire Bible. And this is what we call deep time. Deep time is time beyond our realm of knowledge and experience, which, by the way, is not only in the past, but also in the future. Deep time is what we use the words like forever and eternity and infinity to describe. This is the time in which we live, deep time. And these first 24 verses of Genesis are far more important than their brevity within our Bible, because they remind us of the utter mystery and miracle of existence itself. They remind us of what some so quaintly call the grand scheme of things. And according to our scriptures, at this beginning, is a mighty wind, a breath that infuses everything into substance and form and being and eventually human consciousness. The wind, the breath, the spirit. And because most of the existence of the universe came before we could even tell the story, the beginning of the story, the first 11 chapters of Genesis, is this collection of ancient mythology shared by many cultures. Stories told before recorded history that do what good mythology does. It explores mysteries like human consciousness, good and evil, the advent of language, the origins of different nations and cultures. And we tell these stories in our tradition as stories of the Garden of Eden, Noah and the Ark, the Tower of Babel. And all of these have subplots exploring various aspects of these larger, unexplainable questions. And within these stories, a character emerges and evolves. A character that at first is a mighty wind and a breath that was at the beginning. And this wind and this breath takes center stage, and it becomes a story about God. And then God speaks to a man named
Abram and his wife Sarai, whom we know as Abraham and Sarah. And then the bulk of Genesis, the large sweep of Genesis from the 12th chapter on, is about Abraham and Sarah and their descendants. These stories are a human and, shall I say, down to earth, out of the earth stories. We find stories of faith and risk, stories of obedience and defiance, love, lust, hatred, deceit, incest, rape, murder. And those are only in the first generation. From Ishmael to Isaac to the descendants of Ishmael. Yes, Ishmael had descendants as well. And the descendants of Abraham by his other wife. Oh, did you know Abraham had another wife after Sarah died? Her name was Keturah. And at least seven descendants are listed in the Bible as children of Abraham and Keturah. And who knows how many descendants Abraham had that are not listed with his concubines and other wives. And the story goes to Jacob and Esau, to the 12 sons of Jacob, and eventually to Joseph. And these stories of faithfulness and faithlessness repeat. That list I gave you about the first generation, it gets repeated in every generation, generation after generation. Now, in recent years, and even sometimes today, when someone throws around phrases like biblical family values and biblical marriage, I simply ask, have you read lately or ever the book of Genesis? These are real stories about real people with lives covering the gamut of human experience. And right there in the middle of every story is the story of God with them and in them. In their dysfunction, as well as their faithfulness. The story of God is the story of these people. And in extension, us. It's a family story, the human family. Now, by the time we come to the end of Genesis, I told you it was going to be a broad sweep. By the time we come to the end of Genesis, and it has just been about Abraham and Sarah's descendants, but by the time we come to the end of Genesis, the family, this family of several generations of this old barren couple has become a collage of tribes, of people, and nations, representing the fullness of humanity. And the story of Genesis ends with the family of Jacob, who by now we call Israel, safely under the benevolent care of their maligned brother Joseph, who has become the de facto Pharaoh of Egypt. for all practical purposes, at this point in the story, Joseph is the ruler of Egypt. And the people of Israel, at the end of Genesis, are right where God has led them. Safe and sound in Egypt. The breath and the wind of the deep time brings the descendants of Adamah to the place where their story really begins. Amen. I changed that hymn this morning because I just felt like we couldn't go through this worship service on this weekend, on the day before we celebrate and commemorate the life of Martin Luther King Jr., without singing this powerful song by James Weldon Johnson that talks about human struggle, but talks about God's presence in that struggle. And we're going to leave this place with a quote from Martin Luther King Jr., who said, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. It's long because we keep messing it up. But it bends toward justice because God is faithful. And God's love and spirit fills each and every one of us and calls us toward that ark of justice. Let us go into the world knowing that we are occupants of deep time, and we are heirs of many, many descendants. Amen.